sprint.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none. The best Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards in the country.
If you're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We are back, and I can't call it the second half, considering there's only I've only got what 45 minutes, it looks like, and we will bring you one from Cheltenham, and Jessica Martini is going to pop in. We'll get a little bit of a sales preview from Jess. And there's their no sooner do I mention Jessica Martini that I simultaneously sit down, and because you know you can't have Jess without C Boss. Yeah, she was already out.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not gonna ask any questions.
What do you mean? You know that there's a sale. Okay, you can regale me. That's fine. I'm always eligible. I'm very eligible for regaling. Put those waters down. take that microphone. That's how this works. It's not your first time on radio.
No, it's not my first rodeo.
It's the one and only. Famous for so many things.
Wow, that really is quite a. I don't know if I can live up to this setup.
Oh, you've lived up to it for
mm-hmm.
years.
Yes.
Whether it's the three or four or five languages,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
How many?
I have to think about it. Well, I know a couple spotty. You know, here, let's count them: English, French, Greek. I know well.
Right.
And then I have a little bit of a functional. Arabic, A little bit Arabic.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Who knew?
We won't get into that story of why we know that. Let's not get into that story. So now Jess is here to save me. We're talking about the languages, how many languages I know and why I know them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought we were like talking swear words.
No. We haven't gotten to those yet.
But she
speaks a lot of languages.
She said she was going to regale us.
I was going to regale. I said the sale hasn't started yet. So, I didn't know how much I'd be able to tell him. He goes, I said I can regale him with other stories, though.
I can't tell you much, but I'll tell you it all in a different language.
Perfect.
Exactly.
It's great to have the two of you together, which is, especially here. Mm-hmm. This is, but the whole TDN crew is in attendance.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just the two of us.
What about Kate? Didn't Katie do something?
Yeah, she was here, I think, a few weeks ago. I don't know that she's still here.
That was like a preemptive strike.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Previewing.
Because I watched that video where she surveyed some consigners for their picks of the first crop sires.
It's always exciting, this first 2-year-old sale, to see the freshman sires. Well, everybody's always talking about it.
That's what we're talking about right now. Who are you excited about?
I can't wait to see how the complexities sell. I think that there are. I don't know why you're making that. What?
I'll tell you why. As it happens, having watched that consignment video, it's mm-hmm. about 3.5 minutes long, and in it there was a cut to a complexity working, which then got me to go to the videos and to
were there enough of them for you
to watch? Yeah, there's two dozen. There's 24.
19.
And I said this to Gary Young and Gary agreed, his babies, there is no wasted movement. Mm-hmm. They are the torso.
As he looks at me, I don't know. I feel a little judged.
One of her other famous qualities is a long torso.
Can we take her out on the track and see how she does? Is
there wasted movement
today?
When I'm walking by? I don't know.
No.
About that. Okay.
it's quite notable, and I love that. I mean, there's like a fuselage, and there's the legs twitching, the neck and head are stationary. The complexities look balanced and efficient.
Right, and we have the half to the Tampa Bay Derby winner with Becky Thomas.
The update, that's right, the sequel.
So that's a complexity filly.
She bred that too, I think.
Yes, she did. They bought the mare in utero, the mare with the foal in utero. So
timely,
and I said
clever
to Becky,
purchase.
Is it a concern that there's so many of the same stallion? And she said that's just a sign that the pinhookers all loved him and the shape of him. So.
And this is the sale that you want them, when they show up at this sale, this is really where they can, showcase themselves. So this is really the place you want to be, particularly this sale.
Who else? Complexity? We'll alternate.
I can tell you in French.
Do you want it in another language?
Guerre de Will?
Is that how we're pronouncing it?
I don't know. I don't know. What is Will?
You lived in 10 years in Montreal.
Just American.
Okay.
You say that, and the response is always, you're an American guy. What you do here in Quebec?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're happy to say, if I said I'm from Toronto, they're English. Fuck you.
That's so true.
Are you allowed to say that?
I can say whatever I want.
You can say whatever you want.
Seriously.
Exactly.
All right, so back to you.
Let's go back to you.
This is like
I only have English.
she's Betty White. And you're Kitty Carlisle. You're not old enough to know who Kitty Carlisle is.
I was
thinking
if I could fake it, but no, I am.
You'll look it up.
Betty White, I got it.
Betty, she was with
me. Look up Kitty Carlisle later.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Obviously, the authentics, everyone's looking forward to seeing how they
sell.
Yeah, they went over so well as yearlings. It'll be interesting to see how they have progressed into 2-year-olds. I think that's, he'd be an exciting one to watch.
The I heard Spun to Run mentioned by a few people. Mm-hmm. That is going to be...
He was actually, I remember when he was on the track, he was still on the track, he was a really eye-catching horse. Like, he's not one of those that you would, that would really jump out at you, particularly in terms of on the page, but he was a good-looking horse, I remember, with a lot of quality and class to him on the track.
Hard Spun. He's basically a little Xerox of Hard Spun.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he's turned out, obviously. He's been okay.
he churns out winners.
Yeah, yeah. A productive horse. I think just a productive horse in terms of, like, not necessarily the horse that you look to for the big, you know, the big knock them out of the park kind of horses, but just very good quality and they're runners.
There's a couple of notable themes to this list, which includes... I would say Baffert made stallions. Chad mm-hmm. Brown has got a complexity, instilled regard, Instagrand.
All right, all the Larry Best stallions, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Is he? I have not seen him yet.
I haven't seen him. We just got in last night, so I can't really tell you about who's on the grounds. And obviously the Improbables worked really well last week,
yep.
too.
McKenzie.
Yeah. Eddie Woods has a nice Promises Fulfilled that worked fast.
Dale mm-hmm. Romans was with us earlier. Dale mm-hmm. Very excited about the Promises Fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know what's interesting about, I didn't even say this to I should have, to Dale, son of Shackelford.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
it's two second generation of Dale Romans' trainee. And, by the way, I in doing some of this work, in preparing for, on the sales side,
oh, you prepared for this. Should we have done that?
Apparently.
you guys have institutional knowledge.
Institutional being
operative. Is that
the operative word?
I had read that Tisway had passed. I did not know until the other night that Escondorea had also died.
Oh, yeah, that was last week,
died.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I missed that.
Was he in Turkey? No, where was he? He was... Japan. Maybe he was in Japan.
I think so.
Yeah.
He was, because...
Yeah, he's no longer here.
And it was a huge mistake. I mean, he's one of those that they should have been a little bit more patient, although sometimes, like in the case of Empire Maker...
They brought him back.
Sometimes the offer is too good to pass
well,
up.
Well, and until that third season, you're oftentimes, the first year, it can be all shine and glitz, and then after that, they fall off a little bit, second, third season. So, after that, that's when they really think about bringing them back, so.
Yeah, whenever you talk to the pinhookers about why you focus on the first crop sires, is, well, they haven't done anything wrong yet.
Yes, exactly.
And
bright, shiny object.
And the end users, the stakeholders, they...
support them.
They do. I mean,
yeah.
It's just... And we understand why, but I will say, we'll trot out John Nehrud, who said you cannot determine a stallion's full potential until there's seven crops. That Nehrud,
and that's market today, they don't. That's they're that, not giving
you
them.
Don't
seven.
Have
yeah, they don't
that.
Give them that chance.
No,
yeah.
they really don't.
Yeah. But it's also, don't you think, John Nehrud, by the way, who has the same birthday as I do, right, Jessica Martini?
It was the first
you know
thing
that?
I thought yeah, of when you
I know
John.
You thought about that. I know you. I saw it. I saw the look on your face there. Same birthday.
And Pat McBurney. It's look a very popular
day. Do you see the things you're learning here today?
Well, this is the second birthday parallel that has come up on the show. Which
really?
Which in and of itself is a strange bingo card result. Because who was it that Dale brought one up about him having the same birthday as, now I'm going to forget even who it was, mm-hmm. but this is...
Yeah, John Nehrud's a pretty cool person to have the same birthday, February 9th.
Yeah.
Different years.
I would say.
Different years. But the point I was trying to make is the horses are also not, specific. They're not really built the same way. When we're talking John Nehrud in the heyday of John Nehrud, obviously the horses are not exactly the same as what they were then. But seven crops. I don't know. Would you say, Jessica, seven crops now is really fair
from your
experience there?
Yeah, when they're covering that many mares. I mean, 120 mares every year.
Well, I can, off the top of my head, I can give you a terrific example of somebody that is reaching, maybe now has reached, and I'll check, Violence.
Mm. Okay.
There was the initial thrust, Then there was the lull.
Yes.
And now he's come out of the lull, mm-hmm. and is in, you know, this, that had a little bit of that fishtail with the potential fertility concerns, but mm-hmm. that's been alleviated. Mm-hmm. But he's, you know, at that maturity level and is, you know, is locked in.
Right, he's found his best stride.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
But I also would love to, like, actually sit down with some of the stallion managers and find out the evolution and also how their books have changed. Because, obviously, what the books that they're getting in season one or two is not necessarily going to be what they're getting in season three or four. So that would be an interesting question. And, again, 30, 40 years ago... you know, smaller books, were things actually working out? Were they actually breeding them to the same types of mares? So I think there's a lot of questions, but it is interesting to note that I think definitely the point Jessica just made a minute ago is they don't give them enough of a chance before they send them, you know, they send them off to some other country. So, you know, because after 2-3 years, they're gone, you know.
Well, and then of course, they immediately take off.
It's always the way.
It's one of the craziest phenomenons there is. speaking of the on this, actually, it's interesting. Did you read? I think it only came out Sunday. Did you read Francis Caron's observation piece with Sid?
I did not.
Oh, about the stallion. Yeah, if you're going to breach a race.
That's part of it. It's really a two-part. Sid is under the weather, and so he's not going to come up, but we'll talk to him tomorrow and bring this up. That is a fascinating concept. I mean, essentially, especially in view of the, what do they call it, the dynamic pricing concept that the fast food restaurants are coming up with. The idea of
congestion
surge pricing. Surge okay. pricing.
They're trying to do that in New York too with the tolls.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
They're going to raise the toll during
rush hours.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. They sure are.
They're trying.
Yeah.
Well, that's sneaky because if you got Easy Pass, you're not even going to know what they're charging you.
That's true.
Surprise!
Exactly.
Jersey people are not happy about this.
Yes,
bridges and tunnel people.
And let's just say, not like it wasn't ridiculous before.
Are we getting off topic? I'm sorry.
Only slightly. The idea of charging one cover fee. For commercial breeders versus one for home breeders, and then, you know, even if you then change your mind along the way, you could then pay the difference if you end up selling. I mean, it's a very interesting.
Nobody.
I mean, it's a very interesting concept. It came up with Seth.
Walker Hancock.
With Walker Hancock.
And Bernie Sams.
Yes, it was. Yes. And so that was there. But in that story happens to be Danzig, you know, the Danzig interesting, you know, evolution, you know, starting essentially with 40, covering 40 mares a year, and the, you know, the change and the evolution in, you know, where, you know, we're now, you know, got horses covering 200 mm-hmm. mares. That's the economy.
It's the reality of it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
In terms of the marketplace, any feel, any thoughts? How did you react to? This has been the question of the week. The Rapoli suggestion about seemingly trying to hint that the 2-year-old sale concept is too hard on babies.
You know, people have been saying that for years. I thought it was interesting. There was a OBS before the sale put out a little video with Kieran Dunn saying what would surprise people most about the 2-year-old consigners, and he was saying that we want these horses to work this fast. We don't want them to work this fast. So, I mean, there's from time to time this groundswell of people saying these horses are working too fast, and it really hasn't gone anywhere substantively over the last several years, but it would be nice to see some kind of transition there. But the buyers are buying the fast horses, so it's kind of a, you know, if you're a consigner, you have to have a fast horse, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I think collectively also, everybody's pretty much has to do the same thing. Because we remember a few years ago, we had a few of the consignments, and I believe Astronic might have been one of them, that they had horses that they were selling.
Yep.
They said that they were not going to breeze them. They galloped them. They didn't really sell that well. Now, that could be, part of it, you can argue maybe it wasn't the type of horse that was going to bring that kind of money. But the reality is, if you have all these horses that are breezing, and breezing well and fast, and then you're galloping horses, the reality is, I don't think that it's really going to be something that's going to be feasible unless there is a general consensus. I remember years ago I was in Australia, and I was speaking to some folks that were in New Zealand, and in their in New Zealand, what they were doing, you know, they would mostly gallop the horses. They did not have them breezing like the way we do. They did just fine. The horses sold, but they were all doing pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think it really has to be a collective concept, or else, you know, you're going to have one guy's horses who are breezing.
Well, Kip Elzer, at this point, he'll join us tomorrow, and Kip will talk about his experience. We'll be watching the Lothenbach dispersal horses, you know, that didn't have a chance to really drill and be prepared. They're getting ready to leave here in the Unibet Champion, the next group one, the fourth, and your favorite, heavy favorite, is Willie Mullins and Townend again, 2-5 on State Man. Colonel Mustard, Kev had a push on Colonel Mustard, who's 50-1, and Nemean Lion, the German bred for Kerry Lee, 20-1, and they are off in the Champion. Hips to watch today.
Niall Brennan has a nice Munnings filly that worked really well the first day of the Breeze show. We mentioned the Complexity filly, who's the half to Domestic Product. Yes, late today with Sequel Bloodstock.
Hold on. I had that. If I dig through here, I'll find it. But that probably is.
And Munnings, you mentioned Munnings. Munnings is one of those sires that over the last few years, he was one that kind of, he tapered off a little bit. Like, he was a little cool for a while. And then the last few years, especially at this sale, he's had some horses sell really, really well. And again, he wasn't one of the obvious horses a few years back, but in the last couple of years, his offspring have really, really been selling well. So he's one always that I pretty much look out for. He's not one of the obvious horses, but he has some horses selling.
It's also interesting. Niall Brennan is not someone I usually think of as having bullet workers, but he had a Munnings filly on both the first 2 days of the Under Attack show.
Mm-hmm. There's a good contingent of Munnings, and you know, interestingly, of course, boy, there's only one Spitestown in the whole sale, and the Spitestown fans, you know, have already, kind of gravitated over to Munnings as their go-to.
Yeah.
There's four Spitesters. In fact, the Little Red Feather team, they've got a Spitester that they're selling, and it's really sad that he...
He was going to make a mark on the Canadian market there. That was very sad timing there.
Exactly. Goes up to Canada and promptly died.
It's a cautionary tale for all of us. Don't go to Canada.
Okay, the fellow Canadian here takes offense. I refute that, but yeah.
She's never died in Canada.
How often do you go back? How often do you go home?
Pretty frequently.
Well, you be careful next time.
That this Jess Martini, she's just like a
too
whip.
Much coffee this morning.
It's like Tina Fey and her pal. What's her?
And the other one.
You see, Steve.
I never remember the other one.
Steve, you're gonna think about this next time you ask us to come on.
No. This is why I do. Amy Poehler.
Yes.
Amy Poehler. I'm sorry.
Okay, Tina Fey. I'm gonna take that. I'm totally going with that. I'm gonna own that one. What? Tina Fey.
I don't know if you're the Tina Fey or if she's the Tina Fey.
I can see Russia from my house.
Okay,
very, very good. So you've got your assignment during a lull in the action. You'll look up Kitty Carlisle.
Okay, yes.
Okay,
on it.
All right.
Okay.
And for you?
Yeah, I don't know what my assignment is. I'm going to come up with something new. Yes, I'll come up something
new.
We're
so bored with the four languages. Come on.
Oh my God.
I'm an underachiever, you know.
Too funny. What a pleasure. We will check in with you guys tomorrow for day one recapping, all right?
Yes,
good.
We will.
Outstanding. C-Boss and Jessica. That's what I'll do. I got to work up a nickname
for Jessica.
Is it Jess and the Boss, or is it Boss?
Okay. So we can't.
That'll be your homework.
Yes.
All
right. Okay.
We all have our assignments.
Yeah. Sea Boss and not, Kitty. Maybe Sea Boss and Kitty.
And not including. We don't include anything to do with torsos.
I will leave out the torso. That's a private. That's our private.
That's our inside joke.
Once we
put it on the radio, it's no.
We've already talked about it.
Nobody has greeted you as. Oh, look! It's she of the long torso.
All right. Okay,
Steve.
That's our homework.
That's a wrap.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Unbelievable. Christina Bassanakis and Jessica Martini. It's never too early for Jessica Martini and C-Boss. They're really, I think I bring out the best in them. They're just hitting the wire. They were hitting the wire. At Cheltenham, as we were wrapping up, and let's confirm. Yep, this is formful. Looks like 6-3-8 as State Man. Boy, the three though is going to light the board up. The three. Let me see. Actually, the numbers. Yeah, the numbers disappeared, actually, the domestic odds. But State Man, your heavy favorite in the champion hurdle, comes through. And so Willie Mullins and Paul Townend already off to a good start, as, you know, when you're at Cheltenham, you can expect and be guaranteed that Mullins will impact Gaelic Warrior at the short price earlier, and now State Man. And that that Chianti Classico, as I had mentioned, in the handicap third, $12 with David Bass, who did a hell of a job keeping Chianti Classico from falling after the last fence in the third. So there's the first four. Things will tomorrow will be just as hectic here, I imagine. And tomorrow we'll get probably Thursday morning when it'll be 6 a.m. in Vegas. It'll be quiet, and we'll get an opportunity to take in a couple more from Cheltenham. But you got what's next. I think you got one more group one after this, and then two handicaps. The fifth is the mare's hurdle, and that's at 12:10. Then the juvenile hurdle, which is a handicap, as the sixth, 12:50. And then there is a group two. The Maureen Mullins National Hunt goes as 1:30. And of course, that's right. They've added a seventh race the last couple of years, right? They've expanded this meet. There was an article in The Guardian that I made a note of, and I got to go back and read it, which basically was suggesting that that this is not as popular as it used to be. That Cheltenham, is post. It's prime popularity. I certainly doesn't seem like that to me, based on those that are excited for it. They're underway. Let me pull up as I do this. Let me also pull up the video, so I can keep track of where things are. I think we've had about maybe a dozen or so that have gone through the ring so far. Actually, a little further than that. We're up to, 28? Yeah, hip 28 through the ring. So they're moving right on. It's 11:40. This has been a blur today. To be honest, Wow. Let me bring in the pages and see what may have transpired already. I think there's a chance we're going to say hi to Joe and Ann McMahon, who just came in. And, of course, Joe enjoying a absolutely banner success with central banker Soleimani, and now having brought Buchero to New York. The OBS website has been freshened quite a bit, and I'm struggling to find the sale results so far. Here we go. See if there's been any early tallies. I also looked up, indeed, eight crops of racing age for Violence. So he has reached that maturity level. And we are going to get a chance to talk to Joe and Ann McMahon. Look at you. Oh, great to see you. Ann, how are you? Grab a microphone. I've been wanting to talk to you. You need the microphone, Joe.
You gotta have the microphone.
I know you're shy about this stuff. I have to cajole you every all the time, Saratoga or anywhere else.
Okay.
Listen, things are spectacular. First came Central Banker, then you were savvy, way ahead of the market, bringing Soleimani in, have a son of Curlin in New York, and now the Buchero news. It's about as great a roster, right, as ever?
Yeah, it's even blind pigs find a walnut.
No,
once in a while.
Listen to you. You're ridiculous.
But yeah, we really have. We're pretty fortunate right now. We got the right horses at the right time, and I think Buchero, especially. He's going to really hit the New York thing with the artificial tracks really well. That horse has an amazing percentage of success with the artificial tracks. So he's going to really fit in. The other two are fine anyway. They can run on dirt or turf or anything. So we're feeling good about it.
Well, and then, of course, you fold in the situation in New York. Let's give everybody involved, whether it's shockingly state government, Naira with a very, Dave O'Rourke, we haven't had a chance to really talk about it, but the commitment to the New York bred program.
The commitment from Naira has been really, it's just a wonderful advancement over the last, 30 years. And the program has been very successful, but the idea that we've moved these races to 40% Breeders' Awards for New York sired horses is really keeping a lot of mares in New York State, which is what we needed to do. And everyone knows that the competition from Kentucky for horses for NYRA is very, very stiff. The purse structure down there is very, very lucrative. So moving in that direction has really helped these smaller breeders in New York to have a good piece of action in New York, and they're going to be competitive. So with the new stallions and with the new racetrack and different kind of races, I think we're headed really in the right kind of direction up there.
They fold in Belmont and what is going to be a state-of-the-art facility on top of it. A clear path of winter racing with a synthetic surface,
right.
and what that does. I mean, there's a lot of reason for optimism, and it has to be reiterated, Joe, because there's people out there that want to make it seem like we're teetering,
we're
the
not
sky is falling.
We're teetering on world class. That's what we're teetering at. I mean, it's really gone the right direction. David O'Rourke has done a great job of recognizing the pitfalls and the problems. And you got Tina Bond, head of the Horsemen's Association there, who's doing a great job. And, you know, the breeders, the stallion people have all stepped up and bought better stallions. So it's really very positive right now.
One question on that, when it comes to the stallion program, what happens when Kentucky comes knocking on the door and trying to, you know, when a stallion hits, it can be difficult. I mean, yeah. Rock Ridge had Leah Frick that got boosted. I mean, you've had, you know, it's one area that has been.
Well, we had Leoban, and Leoban was. You know, that horse was owned in a partnership with Becky and Southwest Racing. What was the name of that?
Mike, for goodness sakes.
But we owned the horse, a quarter of the horse, and it was hard to not be interested in selling that horse. But the reality was, even though we would have preferred that he stayed in New York, there wasn't because of the ownership of what it was, there was no way that we could keep the horse in New York anyway. So, really unfortunate how it all ended up, but we'll do it again. And I think that the ownership in Soleimani certainly is heavy with New York people. So I think we're, you know, could be a different scenario, but money is money, and we all have to... We all have to make a living.
Exactly.
And
we all got to eat.
In business. We all got to eat. So, but right now I would say that we're just glad that he's doing good. Hope he continues.
Are there covers available, or are you booked out?
He's up to 160-some mares right now. He's very popular.
How about that?
I think we'll be I think we'll close this book around 175. He's a good breeding horse. And he's got his early mares all in full. He's got a bunch in full already, so we're in pretty good. We're in good shape with him.
How about the other? How about
Central Banker's over 100. He bred 130 last year, so it's kind of remarkable. He hasn't been affected by Soleimani's success in a negative way, or bringing in Buchero. And you got Honest Mischief, who looks okay down there, and you got the the Constitution horse down at Rockridge. So there's a lot of new faces, and Central Banker's certainly holding his own. He's over 100 already.
How many for Buchero?
Buchero's right around 90, 85, 90.
I'm surprised people aren't rushing to.
Well, it's slow to come on, and they've got options.
And he was late.
Now.
The move was late. Advertising wise.
But I mean, you think about it. There's only probably 700 mares that stay in New York and get bred to New York stallions historically. And if you look at those horses that I just mentioned, they're all over 100.
You've basically covered a third of the mares in New York.
The mares in New York.
How about that?
So that's really
more than a
remarkable.
Third. 40%, but basically. Yep.
So I think that there's been a lot of mares come in the state this year. I think a lot of mares have come
in. That's interesting.
Yeah. We'll see what the numbers bear out, but the numbers I hear about what stallions are booked to indicates to me that there's more mares. There's more mares staying in New York, one or the other.
What has been the mare population in the time that you've been doing this?
Well, it's, you know, the population was up over 2,000 years
ago. Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think right now, I think we're around 1,600, something like that, foals, 1,500 to 1,600. So, and it's been divided up. Basically 62-38, it's, you know, about 38% of that group stays in New York. I think that number's going up. I think it's going up considerably, too.
McMahon of Saratoga, and for those of you that haven't finalized plans, you're waiting to see what your foal looks like when the mare, we're only in March, we've got another 90 days of babies.
Oh yeah,
of fuzzy foals, and you're readily available. Should anybody want to talk and consider Buchero and at Central Banker.
Yep. Well, people have always been late in New York. They always have always been late booking. So we're really way ahead of the curve this
nice.
Year.
Nice.
Way ahead of the curve.
Are you? And what about your spring offerings?
Well, the Salaminis here look pretty good. There's five of them, I think. There's a couple of Central Bankers. There's a bunch of Bucheros, but they're Florida breads. But this, you know, they'll sell well. They worked good, and we've got a lot of horses in the April sale, Salaminis and Bankers and other horses that we bred. So it's interesting. We own about 70 mares, Ann and I, in the farm, and you know, so that's a big marketing issue. That's a lot of horses to sell. The preferred sale in Saratoga is great, but you know, we generally have 20 horses in there. And if we've got, you know, 60 foals to market, that's only a third of the whole group. So we have to come up with other ways. So this two-year-old thing has become more of our part of our business.
Who develops your sellable babies?
Well, the two-year-olds, we rent a farm, or we rent part of McCathen's farm.
Okay.
Up here. And we have Javier Arenas, who's an experienced
sure.
two-year-old guy who runs it for us. So that's become a big part of our business. And we just keep adapting.
Well, Joe, I mean, who's a better, you know, who's yeah. a better example of that, right? I mean, you've
well,
you know.
Over 50 years, we've tried a lot of different things.
and not only are you still here. I mean, is it fair to say that you're doing better than ever?
Well, it is actually. It is better than ever. And when you see these Salaminis especially, and the Bankers, I mean, those are horses that, you know, we made those horses. They were made in New York, made by New York breeders and by our partners and clients. That's really great. I mean, that's really fun. You see winning a grade two race with a horse like Bob, that Bob Baffert has in California, that's really moved the needle a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So we're looking to keep going with it.
How much competition? Out of curiosity, because I knew when I saw that you were bringing Salamini, said this is going to be a home run. I mean, first of all, just to have a Son of Curlin accessible to the New York breeders and Eastern Seaboard breeders. How much competition was there for when you?
Well, it was kind of a funny thing. It was right when the when Zayat was going out of business. He was the owner there. He
right.
was under, you know, a cloud
stress.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So the horse kind of slipped through the tracks,
uh-huh.
tracks a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Now, he won a grade one. He won the old, what do they call it, the cash call futurity.
Yeah.
And he got beat by McKenzie, or he beat McKenzie, and they moved McKenzie up. So that was a big play for us. The horse wasn't a grade one winner, and we were able to capitalize on that. Because he wasn't.
You stole him, Joe. Just admit it, you stole him. You flat out boosted the horse out from under.
Well, we went and saw him around Thanksgiving time. We were in Kentucky with the family, and we got a message that he was available, and he was up at Churchill. So Ann and Mike and I drove up there, and I'll tell you, when I laid eyes on him, I said, this horse, we got to buy this horse. I mean, there was no question about it.
He's gorgeous. And out of Surf Song, right? Surf Song.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's very close kin to, you know, what's the Darley horse? Gosh. But anyway, he comes from the Sires family.
Yeah.
And he just looked apart to me. Four times grade one horse. You know, he had to be a buy.
Well, I mean, it, multiple grade one plays. Arkansas Derby, Rebel, Rebel's grade two, but the cash call, as you mentioned, it was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile that year.
Right, right. So so he had the credentials, and he certainly looks the part.
Good Magic beat him in that.
That's right.
In the
Breeders' Juvenile.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, he's a nice horse. We're thrilled to have him.
Unbelievable. You're doing great.
And we're just moving along.
Well, I mean, you stand on your own, but at the same time, considering who you got, you're kind of Hillendale East with the son of Cantheros and the son of Curlin.
Well, I'll take that.
Right? Okay. You're the John Secura of New York, right? Or John's the Joe McMahon of Kentucky.
There, that's what that's
you like that better.
That's better.
It's all always right. Great to see you guys.
All right. Well, thanks for having us, Steve.
Always a pleasure. Joe McMahon and Ann McMahon and McMahon of Saratoga, McMahonThoroughbreds.com, and Joe is giving you a hint. Get to Bushero and Central Banker.
Yeah? There you go.
I appreciate it, Joe.
Thanks, Steve.
Best of luck. Always great. What a treat. Thank you. Good to see you. Good to see you, Ann. Thank you. We'll see you back. Yeah? Oh, outstanding. Here, grab the mic for a minute. I got 3 minutes, so it's a perfect it's a perfect chance to what a pleasure.
Yes. So, yeah, Harlan Malter, yeah.
We've met. Yes, we yeah. Here. Either way, or to use the microphone, okay. One or the other. But he's got to put it up here.
Yeah.
We just had a terrific conversation with Joe, and we got about 2 minutes. When Gleyshaw was retiring, we had a wonderful, thanks for the... thanks for everything, because we had so much fun, and he was such a nice horse. And now, this career has been essentially duplicating his own sire.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I heard your interview with Tim, and, Tim fit Bucaro perfectly. I think Tim didn't get the attention he probably should have for his achievements. He just went about and did his job. And I think, Bucaro did that on the racetrack. And it was obviously a little bit of an uphill battle to stand him as a stallion. But I was really fortunate. We're down here in Florida right now, and the Florida breeders really received him quite well. And, I definitely think I made some promises for my experience with Bucaro and what people may or may not get out of them. And it's been very fulfilling in the first two crops to see them deliver. It's like, as you said, he's making racehorses.
How did this move come about, essentially? I mean, because I don't want to say it's lateral. I won't say it's a different market.
It's unique.
Yeah,
it's a unique move. When I went and proposed to do it, I got a lot of comments about that in New York. That normally New York doesn't receive a move like this. It's either going from New York to Kentucky, or they just start in New York.
Yeah,
and for me, what it really came down to was obviously I do think the synthetic track going into New York. That Bucaro is a one-trick pony. I think he's 22% synthetic, 16 dirt, and 14 turf right now, win percentage. So he's kind of good across the board. But, man, to have breeders have the opportunity to breed to kind of a horse that's had that kind of synthetic, superior results with a synthetic going in New York, I think we're over 100 mares right now. We've been really well-received, and the New York breeders are great. And the McMahons have been amazing, Joe and John and the whole team up there. So, he had to get used to the snow. As I said, I think it was the first time he'd ever seen snow. He went from, I think he left Indiana where he was foaled 10 days after he was born, and pretty much never saw snow. So the snowfall this winter was his first, but he's doing well. And, we're really excited about, with Bookham Dano, and we have some nice stakes for us. I just saw Kelsey Danner Shards is looking to make her return, and you spoke to Joe Orsino. We're pointing Mattingly to the Palisades April 7th.
Nice. How many mares do you support him with?
Our group, this is our biggest year, so our group has probably put in about 25 to him of the 100.
Nice.
And, we're expecting to be, a nice chunk over 100 with that.
You'll keep some, and how many are you?
It's hard not to sell them. It's hard not to sell them the way they're selling, and it's hard to let them go.
Exactly.
So we've had some success buying them. This year, there's none in the March sale, believe it or not.
Okay.
There were three entered. None are being sold. I'm expecting, I may poke my head into the OBS office, see how many are in the April sale, but I'm sure there'll be a nice amount of demand for them come April.
Harlan Malter, great to see you, and continued success.
And we'll see you down the road here in New York and wherever.
Appreciate it, Steve.
All right, good to see
Absolutely.
You. I appreciate it. Left-handed? Right? You're left-handed, aren't you?
I write left-handed?
Yeah.
My dad wanted me to make sure I could only play first base and outfield, so I threw right-handed.
Oh, I could tell by the watch. That's the big giveaway. Exactly. Yeah, left-handed. I love it. Like sheep of the angels riding down the line. Harlan Walter, Joe and Ann McMahon, C-Boss and Jessica, Andy Simoff, Gary Young, Rusty Arnold, Dale and Tammy, Jason Beam, escaping from Oldsmar, clearing his head, and Gary Fenton. That's our show for today, as they say in the radio biz and the TV biz and whatever other media biz. Back with you tomorrow. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9, archive, etc., podcast, iTunes, and whatever. Thanks, everybody. Good luck if you're playing today, Tuesday. Quiet. Watch the sale. It's off to a decent start. No big tickets yet. I think it was $300,000. So I'll talk to you in the morning.
PA Bread, I think we've built a brand at this point.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Carabelle in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The best Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards in the country.
If you're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
An app created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.